Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Back in the Congressional Corner, I'm David Gustina, honored to be sitting in for Alan Chartok, and we're joined once again by Rich Clark. Rich, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's turn to speculation. We were saying before we came on mic, it's always good to speculate in politics.
Never too early.
That's right. 2016, we've been hearing about this even while the previous election was going on. But one thing that was interesting, Human Rights Group released a statement or video which showed that Hillary Clinton now supports gay marriage. I thought that was interesting. You know, there's been a lot of speculation about her running for president, and every poll has her destroying everybody else. So this was an interesting move, an early sign?
Well, you know, again, we're so far out, but we've seen public opinion switch on this issue very decisively, and it's never harmful to put yourself on the right side of public opinion, especially on an issue that's been gaining to this extent.
Well, now let's throw in somebody else who's been making news recently and who even said he didn't think his brother's policies would hurt him if he ran, Florida Governor Jeb Bush.
And you know, the poll, I think, that's been talked about, the Quinnipiac poll in Florida, is interesting because, you know, the Republicans have to have their eyes on Florida. They have to take Florida. They have to take Ohio for presidential politics. That's just the way the map works. And Jeb Bush has the book out, which he's done some backpedaling from, but he's got the book out, and he spoke at CPAC in last week, and he's out there and getting his name out and talked about. But he's the establishment candidate, and it's fascinating how he's played so well at CPAC, or at least, you know, getting the invite when other major governors didn't get the invite, particularly
including Chris Christie
and McDonald of Virginia.
Right. Well, and that Chris Christie situation is interesting, right? Because after Superstorm Sandy, he put his arm around Obama, and he was very, after having blasted him because it was an election season, and he, you know, was then in disfavor with his own Republican Party and not invited to CPAC. So what do you make of that?
Well, you know, I think Chris Christie did himself no harm in his state. I mean, he was taking the lead and getting the resources necessary to address a crisis. And, you know, I've seen some polls recently and for his reelection bid, and he's going to walk back into office. He's done himself well with with his constituents.
Not only in New Jersey, he's beating Andrew Cuomo upstate.
There you go.
In New York. Well, let's stay with Andrew Cuomo for a minute. Governor of New York, obviously, very much speculated as a possible presidential candidate in 2016. He's a huge popularity rating still, even after his numbers have dropped a bit after the gun law and some other decisions he's made. But Governor Cuomo, what do you think?
Well, you know, I think first off, there's that name association, right?
Sure.
We don't know if it's going to be a positive or a negative with Jeb Bush, but for Cuomo, you know, that name within the Democratic Party still has some resonance. Mario Cuomo was obviously talked about as a presidential candidate for years. And so I think Governor Cuomo is in a good position. He's the governor of a large state, and as we look outside for Washington, you know, he's probably one of the strongest contenders going. We can't discount, again, Hillary Clinton. And despite his age, I'm not sure we can discount Joe Biden.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, I think you have to presume he's going to run, and he's popular.
He is popular. He is going to run with the, assuming the Obama administration doesn't have any disasters between now and 2016.
Sure.
He's going to run as the continuation of this current administration.
Well, it's going to be fascinating. And let's throw in one more, Marco Rubio.
Marco Rubio is rebranding himself to some extent to be more of the establishment candidate. Again, Florida is extremely important to the Republicans, as is the quest for Hispanic votes. You know, I've heard it said that Hispanic voters are for rent. You know, that Democratic Party doesn't own them. They're leasing them. And, you know, on a lot of social values issues, there's a strong pull to the Republican Party. Marco Rubio can be that sort of a leader to help draw some of the Hispanic vote. But I also think they need to recognize that the majority of Hispanics in the country are not Cuban. They are Mexican.
Uh-huh.
And they recognize the difference between a Cuban-American and a Mexican-American, and it's not necessarily that they're going to see Marco Rubio as the Hispanic leader.
Let's end with this idea, the idea that we're seeing a demographic shift in the country. We're seeing attitudes shift. A new study just recently out showing young people 18, I think, to 29 no longer feel that the issue of gay marriage is an issue.
That's right.
People's attitudes toward decriminalizing marijuana, drug use, on and on. And then there's the issue of immigration, which goes right back to the Hispanic population. The Republicans, I would think, know this, and won't they have to make a move a little bit more towards the center?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that's the debate they're having. They are a fractured party to some extent, the way the Democrats might have appeared in the early 70s, with some thinking that we really need to move further to the left and identify ourselves that way, and others moving to the moderate right. Now, the Democrats got their groove back, so to speak, by becoming a moderate party with Clinton in 92.
Who basically robbed the Republicans' issues.
That's exactly what he did, and this the triangulation of the centrist views. And that seems to all of us to be where the Republican Party has to go, but I don't think they're ready to say that yet. I don't think they think they talk about, you know, Eric Cantor talks about the presentation by the owner of Domino's who decided that it wasn't his PR that was problematic, it was his pizza, and he needed to change the pizza. I think the Republican Party is thinking it's not the pizza right now still, it's the branding.
You know, I think it was Bill Clinton at the Democratic National Convention who drew this sort of stark difference between the parties. We're all in this together, or you're on your own. Now, before we get partisan about it, I just want to keep it on that the statement itself, is that a fair representation of the two parties?
Well, I think if you wanted to characterize the difference in terms of what role government should play, the Republicans are clearly the more individualist of the group, that you know, we need a lot less government, we need a lot more of self-help, a lot more self motivation. But you know, I think that contrast or that distinction is far too extreme, because when we look at the areas of national security, the Republicans are not for a smaller government. They're for a strong government, a strong mm-hmm. military, a good night watchman, not somebody who's necessarily involved in our day-to-day lives, but somebody who is going to be able to protect us and keep society stable and safe.
We've been speaking with Associate Professor of Political Science at Castleton State College in Vermont, Rich Clark, and he's also the director of the Castleton Polling Institute. A great pleasure speaking with you, Rich, and I hope you'll agree to come back at some other time.
I'd be honored. Thank you very much.